Happy Sabbath. You're going to have to keep track of me because I tend to walk back and forth, so just follow where I go and we'll all stay together. I want everybody now to just relax, to picture yourself in a state of total refreshment. Go ahead and close your eyes. Picture where you are, at ease, away from this reality, away from this world. Think about it, dwell on it, live in it. Put yourself there. Take deep breaths in and out. And what's that lovely sound taking you and stealing this time of relaxation away from you? Your alarm clock at 6 o'clock in the morning. And what's the first thing you do? You hit that snooze button for those 9 extra minutes of sleep because you want to go back to that perfect state of relaxation, of dream, of a different reality, different from this one of our own. One where it's peaceful, hopefully. And once you're there again, what's bound to happen? Those 9 minutes go by just like that, don't they? And now you're panicking slightly because you realize you may be 10 minutes late to work or to school or to wherever you have to get. And so you jump out of bed and you rush for the shower. You do your normal morning chores. You brush your teeth. You comb your hair. Whatever it may be. You glance at your watch thinking you really need to set that clock a little bit ahead. You grab a bite to eat and you rush out to the car. Start the car. I forgot my briefcase. I forgot my backpack. Rush back in, hit the car, back out of your driveway, just to rush to get to the 91 freeway where you sit with 50,000 other people for an hour and a half trying to get to work. But you don't have to worry about that because you have the radio. You can just turn it on and sing along and sing aloud. Nobody else is in the car. It doesn't matter. You rush to park your car. You rush inside your office. You punch the clock, you sit down at work, you fiddle with some papers. Always something to do at work. Busy tasks, taking you in and out of phone calls and meetings and whatever it happens to be. But you know, there's something nice about work, lunchtime. And so you clock out, grab your lunch. Maybe you sit with a fellow coworker or a fellow student, and you talk about the weather, about the Laker game. You talk about his family or your family and how the boss is putting all these extra projects on you. You clock back in for another 3 to 4 to 5 hours of work. You hit the car to sit for another hour and a half with those same 50,000 people that you went to work with in the morning. But again, you pound your steering wheel and you just sing to oldies or to country or to whatever it is you listen to. You get home, pop a TV dinner in the microwave, turn on the TV, you eat those rewarmed mashed potatoes, you look at the clock and, whoops, I have an exam to study for tomorrow on top of this. So you finally wait for your program to be over, then you turn the TV off, start studying, and before you know it, it's time to go to bed once again, to enter back into that dream world, that state of relaxation, that state of away from reality. But don't forget to set your alarm clock to wake you up out of it once again. That's pretty much my typical day. I rush around from task to task, trying to get my daily chores done, only to wake up tomorrow, and they're all back again. It's a cycle. But you know what I've noticed in my own personal life, and what I want you here to think about today? I've missed something in my rush, in my typical day of schedules and appointments and studying, of rushing from work and back and forth. Well, I'll use the term rushing lightly, of slowly going at 5 miles an hour from work. I've missed putting God into my typical day. Where does he fit in? If I'm so busy and focused on my day of getting to work on time, of those extra 9 minutes of sleep that I need, between my alarm and my snooze, where does God fit in? Where do I have the time to bond with my Savior, my Creator, my Sustainer? The only reason I'm here is because of Him. And yet, somehow, in a 14, 16-hour day, there's no time to say and spend time with Him. Now, we may wake up and say, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me wake up," or "Lord, help me get to work on time," or "Lord, help me with this test," or "Lord, this, Lord, that, Lord, I need, Lord, thank you, Lord, Lord, Lord." I don't know about you, but if I had a friendship or relationship where it was constantly, "Jamie, I need you to do this," or "Jamie, can you do that?" or "Jamie, why didn't you fulfill this?" or "Why didn't you do that?" I think it gets a little wearing. Not that you would give up, but if you're constantly just that friend or person that is in the relationship with you is constantly asking and needing, it's a one-way street. Are we just saying, "Lord, help me," and not actually spending time to get to know Him? Ellen White talks about spending an hour each day with God in nature. She stresses that part. Make sure you do it in nature, because that is what He has created also. I can barely find an hour in my day, period. It is hard for me to pencil in yet another thing. If you will turn with me in your Bibles now, please, take the hymn Bibles out. I want you to actually physically put your finger on the page and read along to Philippians 4:8. Say amen when you get there, please. Philippians 4:8, and this is from the New International Version. All right. "Finally, brothers and sisters and friends and family and church members and colleagues and people you randomly meet on the street, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I don't know about you, but work isn't really lovely. School isn't really, you know, the exact thing I want to dwell upon. And yet, where am I in my thought process 95% of the time? School, work, life here. I'm currently taking a statistics class. If anybody's taken one, you know what I'm going through right now. It is probably the most hardest class I've had to take. And when I'm not studying it, I'm thinking about the different symbols, the Greek letters that mean something. I don't want to think about it, but I'm constantly trying to remember these things so that I can pass this 5-week class. But why? So I can take another 5-week class and another. Whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is lovely, my day doesn't consist of many of those things, yet God has given us something that is. He's given Himself and His Son to focus on and to be the center of our attention. Instead of talking to your colleagues about the Lakers, I dare you, and myself, to talk to your colleagues and coworkers and friends about Christ. It is very hard. I work with a nurse who grew up Baptist and was forced to go to church. His dad literally dragged him there. And believe me, by the time he was old enough to make his own decisions, he hasn't been to church in probably 30 years. We've actually talked about religion somewhat, but you have to be careful because you don't want to scare him away. But as long as we are all focused on Christ, Christ speaks through us. We don't speak our own minds. Ellen White goes on to say another illustration that I probably hold the closest to my heart. How many of you, by show of hands, have stared up at the sun? And then when you look away, what happens? You get that little orange glowy fuzzy dot thing in front of you, right? And it fades away. I don't recommend this, but if you stare up at it longer and you turn away, that little fuzzy orange dot stays a little bit longer, doesn't it? Ellen White says this, Christ is like the sun. If you stare up at him and you look away, and by staring up at him is when you study with him and bond with him and spend time with him, and you're pulled away, his face, his teachings, his ideals should be in front of you, guiding you. Just like the literal sun, if you stare at it longer, you get that little dot. If you spend more time with Christ, you open his message, you talk to friends about him, you talk to family members about him, you talk to colleagues, whatever. If you spend time with Christ alone and with friends, and you make an actual effort, when you look at him and when life pulls you away, because it will, he will be there guiding you, pushing you, encouraging you, showing you the way. Today's theme is stand up for your faith. It's a very trying thing to be a young person and stand up for your faith. But we can praise God that with his help and his comfort and his endurance and his strength, and the list goes on, that when we devote some time in our busy schedule to him, he will still be there to help us when we're pulled away, when we're tempted with whatever it is. Drugs, again, the list goes on. We've all been there. But we can say, don't knock mics over, but we can say that we have experienced Christ, that we are currently experiencing Christ. So that is my challenge for you today. When it comes down to the nitty-gritty, when the bottom line is all there's left, I don't want to be stuck thinking, why didn't I look up at Christ more? Why did I busy myself in the car listening to the radio instead of praying with him? Instead of asking him, help me pass this test, why didn't I spend the time studying not only the Bible, but studying the test instead of watching TV? There's different scenarios. Just find some time to be with Christ, to guide you and to help you. The youth have a skit that they're going to prepare for, and while they're